DufferBet, proud sponsors of the Welsh Premier League. Welcome to DufferBet, WPL Radio.
It's a DufferBet Welsh Premier League podcast, and we did promise in the next couple of weeks we would review what's happened and look a bit ahead to the seasons coming up. Now, before we do that, we are recording this on the morning after that terrible terrorist atrocity in Manchester. And we have to say, of course, everybody's thoughts at the league going towards the people involved in that and the city of Manchester. Jonah, initially, I suppose everybody in the league is thinking about what's happened up there. And our thoughts are with everybody in Manchester initially.
Oh, Mark, it was a tragic event. And everyone from, you know, in Wales sends their love to the people of Manchester, and we just hope that it never will. So I don't say how they will, but it never will get back to normal for them families. But our thoughts really are with them. God bless them all.
Let's move on to a couple of bits of team news and managerial news that's broken over the past few days. Bangor City with a new first team manager, appointing Kevin Nicholson. Now, by my counting, Jonah, that makes it the fourth manager they've had this season. What do you make of it all?
Well, it's another appointment that, you know, at the Bangor City, Bangor University Stadium. It's just a strange scenario. I know you have to tick the box with pro licence. So Kevin Nicholson is he's 31 and he's a UEFA pro licence coach, which was recommended. So they had to get somebody in. Gary Taylor Fletcher done a fantastic job, and I'm sure he'll be involved along the line, I think, also with the director of football, Stephen Vaughan. So Taylor Fletcher must have, I think, known that this was going to happen, because, as I said, you have to have a UEFA pro licence. So they'll work as a team, the three of them. You know, Gary Taylor Fletcher, I think anything's possible after the way his team finished the season. Bangor finished the season well, and I'm sure it's a good appointment for Kev Nicholson. He realises again, and we must realise again, that is people coming from professional clubs now to join our league, so that just again ticks the box for our league gaining in reputation.
And we mustn't forget the fact that, despite, you know, we talk about ex-managers in the season, it's not as if this has affected Bangor, is it? There's been progress and progress and progress all the way, and of course, they're looking now to progress in Europe and get back to where Bangor perhaps rightfully belong in Europe. And I understand the training regime's upped a bit as well, isn't it?
Yes, like we said, they're training more often now, and I'm sure the word was they may train coming 2 days a week, which would be brilliant for a club in this league. You know, that there's not many have done that over the years. They obviously do two evenings, some do three evenings, but to be able to train 2 full days, it takes semi-pro to another level. But if they can get in and do that and sign a few decent players, as we said in last week's podcast, they could be a threat and a challenge to the big boys at the top.
Out long before Bangor become a pro team, Jonah. It's only a matter of time, isn't it?
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see 5 or 6. Eventually, I'd like to see. It won't be in my days, I don't think. But obviously, when this league started 25 years ago, it was some people thought it was a pipe dream. But could that day come? Within the first maybe 50 years, okay. It would be nice to think that in 25 years' time, the league would be fully professional.
And I don't want to spend too much time on Bangor, because the next podcast we do is going to talk about the top 6 sides. We were going to focus largely in this podcast about the bottom 6 sides this season, but the potential in Bangor has always been talked about, and I suppose the people coming into Bangor City see the marketing and the financial potential, because despite the problems that have been there in the past, it is a big club. It has a lot of fans. It has a reputation around the world. People know Bangor City's name, whereas perhaps they don't know Cardiff Met's name or some of the other teams in Welsh football as well. So it's a bit of a pushing at an open door trying to make Bangor City bigger again, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I'd say they have been massive, and they were, I'm sure, in the 70s and 60s. They were regularly attracting crowds between 3,000 and 4,000, I think, at the time when Neville Powell was actually playing for them. And, you know, they were a massive club, and it can come back again. It can come back again if they can start surging up the league and turning out professional players and provide quality to their supporters, I'm sure they'll start getting a couple of thousand every Saturday back, and that's exactly what this league needs. We need four, five, six of these teams to start, or six of these grounds to start producing crowds in the 1,000 plus bracket, and then it changes the whole scenario of the league.
So let's have a think about those bottom six then, and some breaking news on those bottom six. Not so much breaking news, but we heard that Sutts is leaving Newtown. He's off to Telford United. Always been a key player for about nine seasons as Shane Sutton at that club. And, you know, sometimes it's time to move on. The club seem grateful for what he's done and the new challenge that faces him. But how much of a loss will Sutton be to Newtown next season, do you think, Jonah?
Cornerstone of their defence over the last 4 or 5 years, very important in their European success. Brilliant. I think he's been an excellent player in the Welsh Premier League. We nicknamed him the Viking a couple of years ago. He was the first one. He brought the beard back into football, by the way. He's a trendsetter there, but he's going now to Telford. I'd like to wish him all the best personally, because I think he's been brilliant for this league, absolutely. And centre-back sometimes perhaps don't peak until, you know, they become 27, 28. And I think he's at his peak now. He's a strong central defender. And that's why I think he's been snapped up by a club who may offer maybe better financial rewards. I wouldn't like to quote that, but I could see that as being the only reason for Sutts leaving Newtown, because he was a stalwart at that club and he was a great servant for them.
More importantly, the crazy haircuts as well. What a fashion icon, even if we miss him for the football. But it does raise an interesting point, doesn't it, about what's going on there now. That we look back at the season Newtown had and the late rise led by Jason Oswell. We'll talk about him in a second. But a Newtown proving that there is something in them, but it might be too late to stop other clubs looking at some of the players that are in Newtown and thinking, that's the sort of person I need next season.
Okay, I put Newtown in the Everton West Ham bracket in the Welsh Premier League. It's as simple as that. If you play well for West Ham, if you play well for Everton, the big boys come and have a look at you, and I put Newtown in exactly the same bracket.
Do you think that's going to be a problem next season? I mean, look, new people always come in and new players come in and then they start getting a shape to themselves and life moves on effectively. But, you know, there is, let's talk about Jason Oswell now, who did a fantastic announcement at the Welsh Premier League Awards over the weekend when he filmed his acceptance speech from Uganda. That man is quite clearly being watched now. And will Newtown be able to say to him, stay here, there's bigger things coming?
Again, it's like just going back to the English Premier League, it's like Lukaku at Everton. You know, he's had a fantastic year there, and all of a sudden if he gets 24, 25 goals, the big boys come calling again. Same thing happens in this league. And just going down the leagues a bit, there's one young lad had a magnificent season for Cambrian and Clydach in the first division. They had a brilliant under-19 cup double, and their main player was a lad called Sam Jones. What happens this week? He joins Barrytown. So that's just a production line, Mag. You understand football as well as anybody, right? If you play well in a league below you, or if you play well for a club who are not quite in the top bracket, your worth is the top clubs come to get you. And that's what happens in football.
Looking back quickly at last season for Newtown then, was Oswell's goals the absolute spur? Or do you think even if Oswell had been a little bit off the boil, Newtown still would have risen further?
No, I think I said it all along, didn't I? That if somebody scores 20, it can get him out of the mire, and he rose even further. You know, he became the league's top scorer. He won himself an individual award, you know, the two individual awards he won. The Golden Boot, and he won the Welsh Premier League Player of the Year. So he did really, really well. And Newtown needed him. Chris Hughes might tell you different, because they won four or five games when he won there towards the end. But they'd already got into their flow then. But when the going really got tough, he started to nick ones and twos in their earlier wins to lift them from the bottom. And he really did make all the difference. He was the number nine of the season, and that's, it definitely helped Newtown's rise to mid-table security.
But something kicked in, didn't it, to make him get there? And I wonder whether we underestimate the managerial skills of Chris. Maybe Chris's skills are underestimated. Maybe something happened there where he was able to motivate them better. Or maybe the people who were around Oswell giving him service were able to step up their game too, and we don't talk much about them.
Well, I think we do. I think we talked about them all season. It's just the number nine always gets applauded, Mark, and you know, Nick Rushton come in and did well. He most probably, I think he's been released by Connors Key now, so he may go full time. And he might be the golden boot scorer next year. But you have to say, yeah, Chris Hughes done a marvellous job, brilliant job. We've said it so many times on a podcast. They were in trouble, but he was the one who dug in. His committee dug in. They stuck together. And what I did like about Oswell receiving the trophy on Saturday evening when we were all there, such a brilliant night at the awards, and a well done, mate, on your presentation.
I was brilliant. I know, I was brilliant.
You weren't bad at all, right? But I loved it when Oswell said thank you very much to Chris Hughes for giving me the chance. That means a lot to managers. You know, he's got the award of the season, and he thanked his manager. So there's no you know, gigantic ego or anything there. And good luck to him as well. You know, if he stays, good luck to him. If he leaves, good luck to him.
Well, a man who goes out and does aid work in Uganda can't have a gigantic ego, can he? I think we can accept that as read now. So we talked a lot about Newtown in the latter half of the season. We talked a lot about Aberystwyth as well. So let's turn to them. Tony Pennock now confirmed as the full first team manager, permanent, of Aberystwyth Town. Wayne Jones stays as the assistant manager. Let's go back to the start with Aberystwyth, though. Such hope with Matthew Bishop that things would change. And I remember Matthew Bishop saying to me in those pre-season interviews, people will underestimate us. They won't know much about us. And I'm happy that way. Do you think absolutely people did actually have the measure of Aberystwyth?
Yeah, it was a tough league. Matthew Bishop, who's he's a great coach. He's had a great record at Newport County. He's had a great record at Hereford United. And he came and went to management. And Bish will tell you most probably that he didn't have the best of luck with injuries. But it's hard to build a football team. You know, one minute you're a coach, next minute you're a manager, and you have everybody else's problems comes on top of you when you're the manager. And that's what Penns will have to deal with now. Penns, being a great goalkeeping coach, don't forget he's been at Hull City. I got a great history, you know, with Penns. He played in Europe for me, for Carmarthen, and he's a brilliant, brilliant professional footballer. His standards are very high, and he's a great lad as well. So I really do wish him all the best. And I, you know, this might be the right time to go as Aberystwyth as a manager. Like you said, they've struggled for 4 or 5 seasons now and haven't really shook the tree. Pennock could be the man to do it.
Now, it's interesting, he came in last few games of the season and that typical new manager bounce happened. And I got to argue the case that if it wasn't for Pennock coming in, it would be Aberystwyth that would be relegated, because it was the new manager bounce that saved Aberystwyth's bacon.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, because in the end they only stayed up by 4 points, and that's close for a club like Aberystwyth. And it was nail-biting stuff. They had them run of two or three games when they had three good wins, but obviously the committee of Aberystwyth have looked at a few different candidates, and it looks like Tony's won the race to get the hot seat, and he will be good for Aber. I say here and now that I could see Aber rising up and joining the top six next season, and I don't even know who he's signed yet, what his budget is, but he's a good football man, and I wish him all the best.
Yeah, but Jonah, we've been here before, haven't we? Every time we look at Aberystwyth, we think they should be top six. And the past 2 or 3 seasons, they haven't. And the thing is, when Wayne Jones, when he was sort of standing manager in the transition period, turns around and says a lot of the players in the dressing rooms really need to look at themselves and the way they were with Bish. I mean, I know Tony Pennock perhaps won't take no prisoners, and he might be a little bit more strong in that front, won't take any messing. But the truth is, if you haven't got the players who are not delivering to a certain level, then actually you can put the best manager in the world in charge of it.
you know, only your Sam Allardyces can help in that situation. You wonder whether there should be a wholesale clear out of players, full stop, ABBA next season. Because I can't see where it's coming from. I can't see where the change is coming from.
Well, it's not a late change, right? It's not a late change. And the opposite scenario is, we spoke earlier on about Bangor City having three managers and getting into Europe. But at least Pennock will have time now. He'll have a good pre-season ahead of him, which is very important. He may have, this might be a late release, he may have had the word that he got it a month ago, who knows, but it might be a late release and he might already be on the case of signing players, and that's key. But he will show no excuses now. He's got 5 or 6, 7 weeks before the start of the season, and he's got time to get his players fit, he's got time to get them all together. He won't be looking for excuses. He'll know it's his job now, and for him, the only way will be up.
Well, the ABBA fans won't stand for it for another season, will they? They'd be mediocre for 2 seasons at least, haven't they?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a nice time to go there as a manager, Mark. It's just, it might seem daft to other people, but if you're joining a club as a manager, you're most probably joining better after David Moyes than after Alex Ferguson.
Mm. And just one quick point, which I'll also talk about with Bala next week when we look at the top six. Of course, ABBA had a new surface. 3G, lovely, nice and spick and span, but they were all over the place the first couple of weeks, weren't they, having to play games in certain places, not many home games, if any at all. How much do you think that affected Aberystwyth or even Bala, that they were on the road a bit and they didn't really get to feel at home?
Don't think it did at all. I mean, for about 2 or 3 games at the start of the season, Kate and I can remember, said everybody was having a go at us, and they fought back brilliantly, you know, won the Welsh Cup, and they really settled. I think they went, only the one game they got beat, I think, by Forfar. Was it Forfar or Alawetta? Sorry. But apart from TNS, so they found it lovely in the end, the 3Gs, and ABBA will just have to deal with it. Everyone's got to deal with it now. It's a 70. Bangor City, his ground is almost like a 3G because the grass is kept so well there, so they're all good surfaces now. There's not that much difference between them all. Carmarthen will be going 3G as well. So from the top down, you've got New Saints, you've got Bala, you've got Carmarthen, you've got Cardiff Met, you've got Newtown, you've got Kevin Druids, Aberystwyth. Listen, it's almost a 3G league, so that 3G excuse will have to go out the window now, Mark.
And let's have a look at the other sides then quickly. Kevin Druids, Huey, up on the stage with me on Saturday. Very pleased with what he's achieved. Done it very quietly and methodically. Was up for Manager of the Year award, and rightly so.
Yeah, brilliant. I think, you know, if it wouldn't have been for the exploits of, you know, Kate and maybe and the TNS world record with Craig Allison, I think Huey done a brilliant job. And it's just a competition again. Now, this is the same stage as last season now, and we're looking at it. You said to me earlier on, can this league one day maybe go professional? But I'm looking at this season now, a year on after our conversations at the beginning of last season, and every standard is almost ticking a box of getting higher. We just talked about Aberystwyth were one of the great clubs. Were they allowed to just stroll along 4 or 5 seasons ago? Well, the standards have got that high now that they dipped. But Huey Griffiths went to Kevin Druids, built the team, worked his socks off in building the team, and he's got them, you know, into the bottom, close to mid-table security, which they finished brilliantly, 9 points away from relegation in the end. And his target might be 6th spot next year now. So standards, they're growing in this league all the time.
And Llandudno, what happened there? Last season's Leicester. Without Mark Williams, they were missing goals. But is that the whole story about their season?
I just think they had a roller coaster ride. And Morgs, his first year in was fantastic, getting into Europe. And then they also played in Europe. Their biggest thing, yeah, you did mention Mark Williams, right? But you can't score 31 goals in 32 games, right? They were the lowest goal scorers in the league. By the team who went down scored 6 more than them. Real scored 7 more than them. So it was all about putting the ball in the back of the net. Defensively, they were okay. But they have to, Morgs has to, maybe get his piggy bank out and get himself a striker. Who knows who they could bring in? But we talked about Oswell being the difference at Newtown, which inevitably he was, because of his 26 or 27 goals. And Llandudno's top scorer, I think, was 6. Not enough. That's why they struggled.
And then the two sides we won't be talking about next season, because they are leaving us, unfortunately. Real and Airbus. Well, look, let's start with Real. We've spoken quite highly about Niall McGuinness and his desire to prove people wrong and work hard to keep not only Real in the league, but actually to progress them. If you were writing Niall's school report now, not wanting to make an ageist joke, but if you were writing Niall's school report now, what would you say about his season?
I'd just say experience is vital. Experience is vital. He's done brilliantly to come in and take the job at such a young age. You'll know I spoke to Niall at the Youth Cup final between Swansea City and Cambrian Athletic, and he was there, and he's got his head down there, and he's studying, and he said how he's looking forward to next season already, and he hopes he can bring his club back up as a group, and his team will be much stronger the next time they come in. So that's what I would say. Sometimes when you're a coach, you may be able to get away with it, but as a manager, experience of the league and know-how of the players is absolutely vital. But effort and some great performances by his team, I'd say well done, and go and prove yourself to other people now, Niall, and go and get yourself in the top two next season, and let's see the Lily Whites back in the league.
Do you think the philosophy of having really local players is going to help? Was a help or a hindrance?
It works some ways. Sometimes it works. It's very, very hard to stay in this league with all local players. I think Newtown are probably the most local of everybody else, and Hughesy's had 3 or 4 seasons there to set that all up. But it's ideal to keep ticking a box with the chairman. But even in a local side, you've got to find a glamorous goal scoring number 9 to keep the fans happy. And that's what they just might have lacked last season.
And finally, Airbus. Well, 50-1 for the drop at the start of the season, and they dropped. We saw perhaps an inkling at the start when I spoke to Andy Priest pre-season that they weren't going to be as strong a force as they thought they would be. But did anybody genuinely think they would be relegation candidates, Jonah?
I don't think so, no. Not. You know, they had a great experienced team, their management team, they had experienced players. So this one did go, you know, unbelievably wrong this season for Airbus. The ins and outs will never be known. You know, Andy Thomas come in and tried his socks off. Great coach Andy Thomas. Listen, it might be the greatest thing that could ever happen to him in his managerial career, because he might remember all the people who've hurt him while he's been down, and he might come back, he might go down now into the Cymru Alliance, win the Cymru Alliance, and come back stronger than ever. Who's to know he's not going to be the next Arsene Wenger or Alex Ferguson? But like I said, experience is absolutely key to young Niall and to Tomo, you know, and getting hurt when you're in football, you've got to have a good memory and come back stronger. And then when you're winning again, remember the people who heard you while you were down.
You mentioned experience. Airbus was still a quite a young side as well, wasn't it? And relying quite a lot on those youngsters that they'd brought in. So was it an element of experience? I mean, I know they got Tony Gray, but was it an element of experience players missing there at the start of the season?
Yeah, definitely could be, Mark. And on about Tony Gray there, but if you're talking Harry Kane for the Golden Boot every year now, and you're talking Jason Odwell for the Welsh Premier Golden Boot, what sort of odds would you get for Tony Gray to win the Hughes Gray Cymru Alliance Golden Boot next season?
Do you not think he'd come up? Do you not think somebody'd take him up?
Well, I know he signed a 2-year, so who knows?
Squad player, at least, I would have thought, for somebody prestat him.
Better than that, mate, better than that.
Okay, well, we will see. One final point on both of those teams. You say, you know, Airbus to win the Cymru Alliance, Real to come back strong in Cymru Alliance. Come on, Jonah, you know as well as I do, that's one of the toughest leagues in show business. Carnarvon couldn't get up last season. You've got Holywell thinking about having another go for it. You've got Gillsfield still strong at one stage. You've got Denby a little less strong last season, but they, you know, they had chances. That you couldn't pick the winner of that league. You talk about picking the winner of the WPL and pick the winner of that all days on. But
well, that's it exactly. We're just ticking a box now with the people who've reinvented these leagues. They're going to love everything you're saying in this, because if you can't pick the winner of the leagues as they go down and the league that you're in, it proves the standards are improving and it proves the competition's getting stronger. So basically, that's how it should be.
Yeah. No, it should be. I wouldn't want to be in the Hughes Grey next season, though. No chance. That starts the argument for a 16-team league. Anyway, time to move on. Quickly running through the draw was made for the Nathaniel MG Cup starting next season. It's going to be played on the 29th and 30th of August. Some interesting ties in there. Poor old Newtown will get Baller in a Central Region tie first off. Airbus are going to play Kevin Druid, so that'll be a test of how well they've done. And who else do I like the pick of there? Southwestern tie, Avonlea against Penobont. Penobont will walk that 50-0. Good local one at the Southeastern, Pontypridd against Taftswell.
There's your local, great local derby for the first round of Pontypridd against Taftswell. Yeah. Shall we not forget that one of the teams who played in the preliminary round last season made the final, and one of the teams who played in the preliminary round the season before made the final. So these are not just any old games. You know, a lot of these clubs have the capability of making the final. It was Denby 2 years ago. It was Barry last year. So is it wind of change says one of them might win it this year?
Well, absolutely. And teams like Penobont will probably look at the Nathaniel Cup as a way of testing out their level in the Welsh Prem for future opportunities, won't they? And I really like this look at Pontypridd Town at the moment, because obviously they did very well last season and I think they could come even higher. And who knows, Ponty in the Premier League is not a bad shout in a couple of seasons' time.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Anyway, we've got to go, Jonah, and start applying the suntan lotion because we're supposed to be on holiday. But we are back next week to review the top six. Say goodbye.
All the best, Mac.